there's a real good radio program that may still be on the air and on the internet called Shackled. It's stories of people who have gone through times in life where they couldn't set themselves free from what they were going through and yet met God in the midst of their imprisonment, you might say, and God was bigger than what was holding them back. Well, Paul would be able to identify with that program because he is writing from a jail. Remember my chains, he would say a number of times. And he mentions it right at the beginning of the letter. And while he wrote this letter, sending it to the church in Philippi, he was writing to a group of people who saw him in prison while he was in the city. So he was in prison in the city. He gets out. He's back in prison again. He writes back to the people, and God shows himself big and much stronger than the limitations that Paul was in. So he writes to this church at Philippi. Philippi was named after Philip of Macedon, who I know absolutely nothing about, other than he was the son of Alexander the Great. So he must have knew how to fight, and named a town in a Roman colony after him, Philippi. So, prominent city in the Roman colony, and Paul and three of his Christian buddies go there. They are on a mission trip, you might say, to Macedonia, hit a couple cities, Philippi, one of them. And then it was a big deal for that to happen because it was the first time in history that the news about Jesus hit Europe. Okay, so the news about Jesus started to spread as early as 50 AD to Europe, maybe a little bit before that even. And then because of that, we remember God's faithfulness throughout history. You know, the gospel spreading around Europe for 1,400 years, that's a long time, before it would hit America. Okay, so just... We want to remember that as we read the Bible and as we think of church history and as we think of what's God doing in the world today, you know, have a tendency to look down my street and say, well, I understand perfectly what he's doing today just right on my street, you know. There, that's the sum total of what he's doing across the world and across history. No, it's not. Okay. He's been working for 2,000 years since his sun rose, 1,400 years in Europe, 200 years plus in America, and... people still come to the Lord. We're thankful and bow our knees to Him. So Paul writes to this group of Christians. He visits there. The record of it, Acts 16 and 17. Some dramatic things happen. There's a gal named Lydia who comes to Christ. Everybody knows who Lydia is because she's a good businesswoman. There's a fortune teller in town, just like the one used to be up here on Route 30. She hears about the Lord, and she... Her operation is shut down, and it was caused quite a problem that Paul ended up in jail. There was an earthquake while he's in jail. The warden gets all shook up about the earthquake, and he says to Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul gives him the good news. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, and this news will hit your household also. So the background on the letter... you know, we hit about seven sermons or so on Philippians, written by a man in trouble to a group he loved who experienced some trouble too. There was a little bit of conflict among Christians. That's normal since AD 30 or earlier. And then just the news of Jesus overwhelming them. And Paul talking about joy a lot. And the Christians having a sense, hey, God's going to get us through this rough time as the gospel spreads. So, big themes in Philippians. Words that are repeated. Pay attention to in the Bible to words that are repeated. And we shouldn't be surprised. Most frequent words in Philippians. Christ Jesus. Or Jesus on his own. Messiah Jesus. And God. Theos. Just added to that. So Paul's saying, hey, this news is about God. It's about God's Son. In addition, the Holy Spirit's mentioned twice in the letter. God the Father mentioned four times. So 67 times, God. He's saying, hey, this is from me. This is about me. Get to know me. Okay, the Bible, predominantly a book from God and what God will do for us. Often in the world of religion or even as a Christian, you think, well, the Bible, you know, that's my, let's see, that's my book to find out about me primarily, you know. We're included, but my name's not listed there, okay? How about a spiritual gift, you know? I'm into the Bible because of the spiritual gifts that I can have, not the focus of the Bible, okay? How about what I can do for the Lord, serve Him, teach, preach, whatever. It's about God, okay? Keep Him at the center and to say, well, our hearts are bowed to Him. Joy, another big theme in Philippians, mentioned 20 times, rejoice, be glad. We've had two guys, you know, tough it out in real prison who were part of our church, and God was with them there. They followed God there. They followed God when they were gone. We experience a spiritual entrapment when we're in sin, stuck, can't get out. God would work. His joy is greater than the prison we're in. The good news mentioned in the passages. And one of the favorite words of the people with the green sheets over here, koinonia. 6 times mentioned in the letter. Koinonia, if you'd like to read it, some news about the church. Virtually infallible, inerrant. Koinonia. Just kidding. News of what's happening there. Okay. And well, Paul was concerned about stay close to the Lord, have joy in Him, spread the good news, and do it together. And it pretty much gave you the summary of the book there, if your heart's open. Big words in Philippians. The unity in Christ in the gospel ministry. This is a blessing that occurs, written to all the saints. That's every believer in Philippi. Paul doesn't say, written to the really good saints and the barely saints. No, all the saints. Okay, so whether you're a rookie Christian, a veteran Christian, a really strong Christian, a Christian who's barely like, Bible, what's the Bible, you know? I remember I was a Christian for, 3 years before I got a whole Bible. Somebody said, turn to the Psalms. I said, you know, I had to give the Bible to somebody beside me. I'm 20 years old. Where's the Psalms? I felt embarrassed. But I remember I said, in spite of it, I said, oh, I'm happy anyway, you know. Just find the Psalms for me. I was saying, I was glad to know the Lord, even though I didn't know the Psalms. Good to know Him. So anyway, to all the saints. And then He said, thank you for your fellowship in the gospel, your partnership. So they're working together. All of you share in God's grace. That's again, everyone, united in Christ. That phrase is from chapter 2. Contending side by side. There you go again. And there was an old song written by that, side by side. The rest of the words some of you would know. And, you know, one of the great things that happens, it happened in the Philippian church, is when Christians work side by side together. And God really does wonderful things. And, you know, He does that because He draws us to Himself. You think of a Christmas service. You know, many show to praise God. An Easter service. Jesus is risen. I think of a crusade came, let's say a Franklin Graham had a crusade down in Greensburg or over in Latrobe, you know. We would say, we're all going and we're all inviting somebody. That's what you call side by side for the gospel. That's to be a normal part of life. Often, it's hard to pull off in one town, us in the Baptists, us in the assemblies, us in whoever. It's just as hard to pull off at Norwin Alliance Church, okay? Side by side. Side by side. contending as one. Yeah, that's a good thing. That's the way the Lord set it up. That's how He's honored. Well, many people come to Christ when they see the believers side by side. And so we want to ask God to continue to do that. One in spirit and purpose. There's the team again. And He said, you share my troubles. You're in fellowship with me when I'm in trouble. And thank you, Paul, saying, hey, I know you're right in there with me. And so there's the unity theme of fellowship. Great verses in Philippians we'll look at in some detail. God, who began a good work in us, He's going to carry the ball across the finish line. We'll carry it to completion. We happen to be the ball. Okay. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And it's such a personal thing, Pastor Wood, for him to live is Christ. But when he passed on, to gain heaven. All your loved ones who knew the Lord, same message. Your life, same message. I thought this, if you had a little stone with little letters, you know, when they said, this is the remains, there you go. Whether it's ashes or whatever body is left. For this person to live is Christ, to die is gain. That sums up your whole life so well. And here's a powerful, every knee shall bow, tongue confess Jesus is Lord. Some for rejoicing in heaven, some for eternal condemnation. You know, they push the Lord aside. And then the verse that hopefully will be focused in on much in the passages, it's God who works in you to will and to work. You say, I don't have the will to do this, you know. Well, God will give you the will. I can't serve. God can, He can work in you. And right before this it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So you throw yourself into it. Why? Why are you afraid and you tremble? Because God's at work within you. You don't have to fear and tremble, so He comes and says, now I'm going to work with you because you've finally been trembling enough. Because He works in you, you've trusted Him. And great passage, chapter 3, to know Christ, power of His resurrection, fellowship of His suffering. So there's pain and victory in the Christian life. And rejoicing in the Lord, doing things through Christ who strengthens us. And so some truth to live by in closing. Well, first, important, Paul's big heart for the people. Don't be afraid to let your heart be connected to your mind. Most of us our emotions are in this driver's seat, or, you know, we're very thoughtful. We're a very thoughtful congregation. We were talking about this Wednesday night, that we're known for our thoughtfulness as opposed to our, I'm not going to get very emotional up here, right? The assistants in worship, you know, they do really well and so on, but they're not going to, you guys would be like, what? But you want to have your emotions, at least on the inside, connected to your mind. God made you one person. And often your brain does send emotional signals. Believe it or not, it's a part of being an intelligent person to let emotions be a part of you. Paul says, I feel this way about you. My heart is this way. I long for you. And the affection of Jesus gave me affection for you. And I pray your love grows. So there's a lot of action. Get your emotions lined up with your thinking. That's a sign of a healthy person. If it's just, I'm thinking right, you know, and your emotions aren't connected, guess what? Plug them in there. Okay. Same thing. My emotions are right. Now I have to think to love. That's a good thing. So he's really excited about these folks. You want to be excited about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember that only God makes saints. You're a saint. J. Vernon McGee said there's two kinds of people in the world, saints and ain'ts. Okay? You're a saint, or you're an ain't. You ain't. Means to be a saint. You want to say, I trust Christ as my Lord. Only He could change me from being away from God to being reconciled to God. Jesus be my Lord. You could pray that prayer. I don't know, people ask me all the time, how many people do you think in the service are really real Christians, you know? How many people? Usually a person who asks that question is saying, well, there's at least 50. You know, I don't know, would he or she point to you or not? You know. Well, thank the Lord they're not your judge, but thank the Lord they are concerned. Okay. So are you a saint by the grace of God? Or, you know, you can receive Christ and follow Him. He's the one. Only God makes saints. And then God will get you home. The verse is, God who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. Charles Spurgeon got excited about heaven when he thought of this verse. He talked about the people who are there already, and then we're a big army. The first part of the army got there already, and we're the second part coming on still in history. He said, the front lines of the army are there already. Abraham, Moses, David, Doubting Thomas. Yeah, he's in heaven. Okay? Doubting Thomas. But we are still marching through deep and turbulent waters, following our leader Jesus, who can still the water for us. May our hearts be cheered, because we will soon reach heaven's shore and stand where the front lines are today. That's a great gift. If we trust in anything other than the Lord, our rock, our confidence is a false one. God has done it. God must do it. God will do it. He says, our names are written on His hands. And in heaven, we will be more happy than we are today. But we will not be more loved or more secure. Okay. What a great application. That when you reach heaven, you'll say, Jesus, You love me just like You did back on the earth. You know, and I felt safe with You, Lord. Even Paul in jail, you know. How safe can you feel? But I felt safe with You there just like I do in heaven itself. What a great gift. And so the Lord will get us home, and then God gives love to you through you. Just that wonderful blessing. And remember with the you love because, again, saint to saint and saint to ain't, there is still love. Well, I did want to include this. Someone said, you should be, look at your Christian brother and sister. The song comes, I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Okay, what you don't want to sing is, I'm surprised you're a part of the family of God. I'm in shock. But the Lord, you know, the saints of Koinonia together toward Christ. And then love, I remember Romans 5:5, He sheds His love into our hearts by His Spirit. In the hospital waiting room one time, and you can learn a lot just being around people in major trials. So this family, their loved one dies, and they're crying, and it's terrible. And there's nobody. The nurse, she gave the news, and out she goes, and they're. So they were already with the body, and so on, and they kept repeating, "We loved him so much, we loved him so much," and they were just remembering. And I just thought, boy, what a good testimony. I don't know if they were believers or not, but at least they loved this loved one, you know. And I'm thinking, well, the Father in heaven and Jesus and Christian to Christian. You know, Jesus, when He saw the crowds, He said, I love them so much. Filled with compassion for them. Yeah, I'm dying for these folks. That's what I'm going to do. And, And then a Christian heart goes from essentially selfish and fickle to you see the people around you and you say, I love them so much. You know, and by the grace of God, there's more than like five people you genuinely think and feel that way about. five people. I love them so much. You know. But the love of God is shed abroad, and so you do that. His mercies never come to an end in you. See, that's that good work. The God's steadfast love endures forever in you. So God is at work in you to will and to work. So we're glad for good truth from Philippians. How do you give it to Paul in prison and this little church, you know? They said, well, we don't know what's going to happen, but we know God's going to complete this. So we're thankful. And might he have that, give you that assurance in your soul. Let's pray together. Lord, closeness to yourself we desire. And then for everybody here, Lord, to be able to say, well, it's so true about their soul that you could put your flag in their heart and say, to live is Christ. Oh, he's so wonderful. Gift of life, gift of eternal life. And then to die is gain. That's a sobering, true thought. Gain. The gift of heaven. So give us that assurance in our soul and will to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to close our service this morning with We Come, O Christ, to Thee. Will you please stand?